Those now you're just making things up.
Bad songwriting. One day, I was smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Deranged Penguin Podcast. Welcome to it. In the background, you might hear our kid trying to podcast
as
with us.
You.
She's a new member. Yeah. We replaced Brad officially this week.
Yep. This is not. I mean, you know what? And I feel like it's an improvement.
She does have better jokes.
Better jokes.
I've laughed a lot over it.
I got to say that I do smile more at my kid than I've ever smiled at Brad. So.
Yeah, there was that dump she took last week. Mm-hmm. Brad's never done that for Mm-mm. us.
No. Never had an as impressive dump. I will say that Brad is tweeting. I saw him tweet. I was like, man, this dude must be bored. He must have time on his hands because he's out here tweeting.
Rediscovering the Twitter.
Tweet. Ladies and gentlemen, going to Arkansas. All right, so last week on the show, we talked about some things.
Did we?
Most importantly, we said watch a movie. And that movie was The Art of the Deal, or Art of the Deal, the movie. What is it called, Gina? Official
Holy
title?
Crap.
Yeah, something like that. I think the full title is Funny or Die Presents Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal, the movie. ...
Yeah, we, what did we talk about last week? So we said we're going to watch that. So we're going to talk about that first. If you haven't watched it, I mean, it came out like February last year. It's like only an hour. It's on Netflix. It's for you. We told you about it. You should have watched it. So if you feel like it's going to be spoiled for you, well, you have really low bar, you know, to...
I don't know if it's possible to spoil.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're like, no, I want to know what happens in this movie, then you're like, I mean, come on. Come on.
Should give up watching movies.
Yeah, definitely.
And his kids love.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
All wrong.
So we talked Olympics. We finished that up. That's done now. So we don't have to think about track and field or swimming, Michael Phelps, Ryan Lochte, any of those dudes. Chicks.
Did we wrap up the conversation on Ryan Lochte? Because I feel like more happened since we last spoke.
Well, he did. It turns out that he was like, he was lying the whole time.
Yeah. I'm saying we didn't talk about that here.
All right, we can finish that up, I guess. But that's done. Adam, we mentioned that Gina and I are going to do a 400 meter challenge. So did we want to say that we trained for it?
We're training. We've begun.
We
the
went
out
to the
process.
High school track and.
Did a little
and we
jogging.
Were on it. We're on the track.
Looked at it and you're like, good workout.
We went over it. I mean,
that's where it is.
Like,
yeah.
This feels like a track. All right.
Yeah.
Done.
I will say though, we talked about a lot of stuff, mostly Olympics last week. So go back. And listen to the show. Tell your friends. But like I said, so we talked about Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal, the movie. And it's a parody movie. Gina,
we didn't talk about it.
Well, we said that we were going to watch it.
That's
Gina,
what we said.
Tell us a little bit about this movie.
So the movie was directed by Jeremy Connor, written by Joe Randazzo. If those names mean anything to you, they don't to me. It was produced by Funny or Die. It's a satire of Donald Trump and the book that he wrote by the same name, The Art of the Deal. And it stars Johnny Depp as Donald Trump and then features a few other people, Patton Oswalt, Henry Winkler, Andy Richter, Ron Howard as himself, to name a few. So I think we all watched that this week.
Yeah. Right away, it's just like super, super silly, super over the top. It's a Funny or Die production, so if that gives you an indication of it, Del, you have any immediate takeaways? I feel because you texted right away. You're like, this movie, dot, ellipsis.
Yep. That was about 15 minutes into it. It was not good.
Like, it was, like, not entertaining? I mean, because it was
perfect. It wasn't entertaining.
Really?
To me, like, it wasn't even entertaining. Like, I read a review before I started. Like, I just glanced at somebody's words, and it said, this movie is more fun than funny. And I didn't have high expectations, but... So, like, okay, so when I appreciate, like, parody or satire... It's, like, smart and relevant, and it's, like, a play off of, like, and doesn't just introduce, like, random nonsense sort of things. And if they were referencing real things from, like, Donald Trump's life or the 80s or whatever, like, I didn't catch it. Like, it seemed like they were just pegging random things to him.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, I think it was...
That's not good to me. That's just, like, lazy.
I don't think it was like a very smart, well thought out satire. I think it was A, making fun of him, and you know, the satire came from grabbing some points about his life and then like exaggerating some of those things. Like that was there. But yeah, I don't think it was like what's the best way to do this, to craft this thing. It was just more like, yeah, let's throw it in here. And all of it was kind of silly and yet another throwback to the 80s and 90s.
A little bit. I guess it's when I feel like what they're doing, they could have taken, put any person and made it about any person and done the same things.
Yeah.
There's very little in there that was like specific to Trump. And so automatically the only people that like will like it are people who want to see Trump being made fun of, you know, like,
no.
And then I just think those people are kind of dumb.
I felt like that was kind of the point of it. Like, since he's running for president of these United States, I think it was like, let's get together some heavy hitters we know, some famous people who agree that he's an idiot, and make an asinine movie about an asinine guy.
I think you just wanted to say asinine there.
I did. I wanted to say it twice.
That was good.
An asinine movie. You know, yeah, like, I think for what it was, if it were released at theaters, if it were 2 hours long instead of, like, was about 50 minutes.
Yeah, it was, like, under an hour.
If it were a two-hour movie, if it were released in theaters, or if it were, I guess if they put more into it, then I would expect more. But I think for what it was just like, hey, we got together and we did something funny for a little bit. And it's like right at the edge of the time that you're willing to pay attention to it. And like you said, the story's very thin. It just kind of like, you know, hey, what if there was a book? He would probably do something like that, and he would probably hide it if it was really shitty. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of takes that, it stretches it a little bit, and then right at the point where you start thinking, this is kind of, they end it. Right, and then it's done.
Yeah.
So, I think you have good points about it. It's not the best that could have been done. It's not the best.
Maybe you meant to say, what if he made a video about the book?
Yeah, like, I mean, he did write the book.
There was a book.
Yeah, there was a book. Yeah. But he probably at least thought of, like, you know, this could probably be a video series. And so then they just took that what if, or this probably did happen, and stretched it.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to clarify. Yeah, I think it was a little bit long, and it was a little bit boring at some parts, but overall, I found it entertaining.
I wasn't entertained. I'll just say it. And I sat down with zero expectations.
What did you think of Johnny Depp's Trump?
I thought, okay, so he looked really weird.
Yeah,
because
he did.
Johnny Depp,
like, kind of his, disturbing.
Everything about him is like not the features that Donald Trump has. So seeing, he just looked like a weird person, but he was not recognizable as Johnny Depp, you know? I thought he did a good job, as far as that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he looked probably straight on after they did the makeup. He probably looked a little bit like him. I didn't think he really did like a good extended impression of him.
Yeah,
I think it was just kind of like a, I don't know. But then again, like, Dana Carvey doesn't really do a good George. Wasn't it George? The first one?
H.W.
H.W., yeah. It was, you know, it was kind of like an exaggeration of it, which I think you can do and it's fine. But, you know, there you go. It's fine. Whatever. Was it entertaining? I think for at least 30 minutes it was entertaining. I don't know if I can defend the rest of it or other parts of it.
I think Ron Howard's part was my favorite. Like, the beginning, very beginning, and the very end.
Yeah.
Like, and him talking about, like, fighting the woman for the videotape and then apologizing about that at the end. Like, I found that. I liked that.
So, since we're on the subject of Johnny Depp, I figured it was worth mentioning the recent tabloid news about him and his girlfriend. What's her name? Amber Heard?
Right. I think
have
that's
you guys
his
heard
wife.
About this?
It's his wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you're right. His current wife and the relationship issues they've been having. Anybody following this?
I thought about it too. Like, I was watching it and I was thinking, you know, Johnny Depp is like pretty much tainted by this thing right now, at least. And I don't know if they had the idea to record this thing like this month or these past couple months, if he would have been the guy they chose. But I think they decided to do it beginning of the year or something like that. And at the time, he was not being accused of being a wife beater.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, Dell. That's basically what's going on. She's been reporting that he's abusive and physically, and she released like a couple of videos of him just going on rants, like yelling around the house and throwing stuff. And then there was some incident where he like broke a bottle. And I think maybe this was a year ago. I don't even know exactly when. Whenever she filmed a movie with Billy Bob Thornton. And so he accused her of cheating with him. And so he threw a bottle and cut his finger, and then he wrote on a mirror in paint and / bloody finger something about her, you know, starring Billy Bob and like her being slutty or something juvenile but possibly crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's losing it.
I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, I really don't like these kinds of things where you kind of get into people's like lives, like, because you don't have the whole full context of it.
Yeah, there's no way of knowing.
Like, I mean, like, there are times when, like, I've been angry, and if you just grab the snippet of like me being angry or you being angry,
sure,
you can like, it looks bad for everybody. And that's, I mean, I know this sounds like I'm just defending Johnny Depp, but I don't know the dude. Maybe he is an asshole wife beater. I just think that when, like, with anything, that you have to take it all into content and just like remember that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know Amber Heard. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't know Johnny Depp. So I don't know either of them to just believe them when they just tell me something. Now, that said, I also do know that we as a society tend to believe dudes more than we believe women when they say that they're being beat and things like that. And they kind of need this kind of evidence, you know.
Be heard.
Yeah.
Right.
To be heard,
says but Gina. That's what? None of that is physical abuse, you know. I haven't seen the video.
So in addition to that, I guess the proof of physical abuse was that she showed up with bruises on herself for some kind of meeting that they had, and some people were like, "Oh, she's just, you know, making this up to try and get a speedy divorce and get money," or did it really happen? And I don't know. How much do you have to hear before you believe one side or the other? And does it affect, even just hearing this much, does it affect what you think of him and how you might consume his movies or not?
I was surprised that he was in that Art of the Deal. I hadn't seen him or heard anything about him in years, it feels like. I guess in that last Alison Wonderland movie.
That too.
For me, like, I always consume entertainment like with the knowledge of that I don't know these people. Like, I really don't. And that it was kind of like the same reason that I was like able to, like, I didn't really like Michael Phelps. People were like, "Well, you don't like Michael Phelps. What's your problem? You don't like America?" And I'm like, you know, the flimsy reason to root for Michael Phelps is that we hail from the same country. That's really it. It's so, you know, minute, right? Like, I mean, just it's random and shit. And so you know, for me, I can have an equally flimsy reason. Like, I just don't like looking at his face. And to me, they're the same. You know what I mean? Like, if you hold up one, the other one's fine. So if you like an actor or dislike an actor, I mean, that's fine. But I don't, you know, if it's like, yeah, you know, I like the movies they're in, you know? And then if I find out they're assholes later, I'm like, you know, sure. I never knew them, so I, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
I think nowadays, well, it's from always that the backstory of an actor is part of, you know, like their marketing push. Like, you like them, they're so funny. It was like the actress that you don't like, Jennifer Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of her thing where she's, I don't even know what you call it. She's so relatable. She's the every girl, and that's why you should go see her because you root
she's
for her.
She's a big old klutz, but you're... isn't she hot? No.
I mean, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, is that a good reason? I mean, I don't know. Whatever. I don't really care. I like Johnny Depp movies. I think he's a pretty decent actor, but he's been in some shitty movies and some flops. So, I mean, I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't think if you say Johnny Depp beats his wife, therefore you need to consume somebody else. Like, yeah, but that assumes that all these other people that are acting and directing and producing are what, good people? You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know that I've ever gone to see. I think for me, it would depend on why I'm seeing the movie. Like, there are movies that I've seen because certain actors in it, like Leonardo DiCaprio or even Brad Pitt.
Because you like their acting?
Generally. I like them, yeah, and I like them. And if I found out like
something bad about them,
yeah, it would probably make me less inclined to like go say, oh, it's a Brad Pitt movie, I'm gonna see it. You know,
yeah.
I don't think I've ever done that with Johnny Depp. He just happens to have been in movies that I wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know,
I get that. Yeah, I think he tends to be on my list, like Leonardo DiCaprio, where I generally like his acting, even though he has been in some crap.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It might have some effect on me.
Yeah, but like I heard that he's a douche. Like, was it? I don't know. It was like a story. Like he has like yes men friends that he beats in basketball pretty easily, and somebody played him in basketball, and then they whooped his ass, and then he kind of got upset or something like that. I was like, what a stupid story.
Man.
What a stupid story.
I don't even hear stories like that.
These dudes have fragile egos, and they are, you know, like, that's the thing about it. And to a degree, I was discussing this with my sister recently, like, to explore, for those who, like, really actually dig into, like, the artistic side of themselves, you kind of open up an emotional world a little bit that's more raw than somebody that's going to be like a doctor or whatever. And that's hard like to deal with, especially when you're like being pushed around and like, and praised or whatever. And if you haven't really like built an emotional foundation, emotional depth and anchor yourself to something, it doesn't surprise me that actors act crazy and are kind of out of control.
Especially
at times,
individuals,
you know,
who have been acting all their lives.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, right.
People like him who have been acting since they're teenagers or younger.
Yeah, I think you can apply that to like musicians and artists that, you know, like their job isn't. You think about like you know the person you listening to this show, right? What do you do for a living? It's probably something involving you just kind of going through the motions. Some days you don't have to give all of yourself all the time to what you're doing. But if you're, like, touring, if you're a musician, and you really are getting into it, and you're, like, out there sweating and singing a song about, you know, that was personal to you, that you, you know, developed, and you're, you know, pouring your heart out, at best, right? You know, for the good ones.
Yeah, at best.
And then, yeah, and then you got to just come down and be regular now. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
I think you also have to...
defending them, but no, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you also have to know, like, I think it's dangerous to say... To hold them up as though they're doing something very special that maybe other people aren't doing.
Yeah.
A point that I've made, you know, we've talked about this a little bit before, is that it takes a certain kind of person to be a musician or an actor.
Someone
and
who's
it's not necessarily
the,
a good thing.
Thing.
Yeah. But someone who goes out there and says, I'm worth looking at. Please, everybody look at me. You know, whatever emotional damage or ego issues they have that make you like that could contribute to a person who's a little off.
Yeah, and I'm not defending, yeah, like, especially defending when it gets to like the level of like physical violence or something like that, or even like verbally abusing other people. But you know, like, it's pretty well documented and well accepted that like people like Beethoven, he was a complete asshole. He was a jerk and maybe an egomaniac in some ways. And Van Gogh was nuts in his own way. You know, like, there's a level of instability, just, I think, that goes along with that a lot of times. And it's not that you have to condone it, but in some ways you have to like understand the lack of understanding that they embrace the world differently a little bit. And as long as they're not causing real damage to other people, maybe accept that if somebody wants to like go nuts and throw shit around their house and destroy their house, like, if they're not taking that into the world and doing that, causing harm to other people or whatever, then it's not really like, maybe that's the only way they know how to release.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I was saying. I was like, you know, personally, I don't really think that's a big deal. I grew up in households I've known friends and family that was kind of, I don't know, the way they did things. Maybe that's not healthy or whatever. But I just
physically display emotion.
Yeah, I can see where, because I've been like angry at certain things before, and I'm like, you know what? And so I will destroy this here item in my hand instead of like lashing out at a person. And you know, like I'm saying, like, so you got to take that into account. Again, I don't know the dude. If he was in here and we could talk about it afterwards, I'm sure, you know, we'd get to the bottom of it. But that'd be between us or whatever, or a person like that. And that's what I was saying. I was just like thinking about that. Obviously, it changes my view of Johnny Depp. I'll kind of think about that now. Like, I wonder if after this scene, he went home and was like,
he always did seem like kind of a douche.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. He's, yeah,
not
exactly.
Not that goes hand in hand with abuse, but.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? Is it like, I don't know. I don't know, and I think it's kind of, was it ugly to kind of just, like, take something so personal like that, like, and then, you know. I mean, because that's what I'm saying. Like, if you ask me, like, if I thought you were cheating, Gina, and the things I said in the heat of the moment,
like, how
like
would you
react? What the fuck? And then you, like, recorded it, and later on were like, look, he's abusing me. You know what I mean? Right. I'm like, all right, well, how do I...
We don't know the whole conversation.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Sometimes that, yeah, kind of outburst is warranted.
I've been, you know, like in the midst of my divorce, like out of control like that to people that I consider friends, probably around y'all a little bit too. I know there are a couple of things that probably happened, but.
There were some terrible podcast episodes, yes.
Well, the podcast happened a good bit after, I think. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, it may not be even specifically about, like, that rant may have come from, like, a lot of different things going on in his life. And I'm not defending him by any means. And if he's, you know, if she's going to full length and saying, look at these bruises, they're from him,
yeah,
like, that should be taken seriously, right, and seriously explored. And you know, until she is proven to be an unreliable source in some way, that they should believe her. Like, But just a video of him like flipping out one time, I think it's kind of like, yeah, everybody's done that. Like, if we're honest with ourselves, most people have done that.
That's kind of what I'm getting at there. Like that, and then there was the what's his face, the Baywatch dude, when he was kind of drunk and like he was like
David
drunkenly
Hasselhoff.
Calling. Yeah, as I'm saying, is like these are
people.
Yeah, they're just people.
Yeah,
and. Usually a lot less emotionally mature people than the normal.
I think that's the most important thing. When people react to these kinds of stories, and like we all said, if he's actually physically abusive, that's horrible. He should be, you know, receive whatever punishment is within the law for that, or get, you know, she should be able to leave him, etc. But when people hear stories like this, or just, you know, a star that freaked out or acted crazy or did something foolish, we shouldn't be so surprised, because they are just people. Like, we need to stop holding them up to some impossible standard or expecting them to be saints or something. Nobody is, and probably least of all them.
Right. Yeah, I think the only person that we can totally convict is probably Ryan Lochte, because he's a...
Yeah, he's a dunce.
He's and a douchey dunce.
Stupid looking.
Yeah, they made him fix that, like, immediately.
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
interview and apologize, not apologize.
I mean, one thing to, like, let a lie go out of control, right? That's one. But then, like, the type of lie, I guess. I don't know.
His age.
Yeah.
What? Why? Yeah, why?
I don't know. So, if you don't know, so he's a swimmer, right? And he's 32 years old. And I think this is kind of what part of the conversation
people were. Grown-ass man.
Yeah. It was funny that some of the anchors there on NBC were like, I mean, they're just kids. They're out there just having whatever. I was like, I don't know, man. I think you're 21. You're kind of a kid. You're 32, and you're like.
You haven't been a kid in a long time.
Yeah, and you have all these endorsement deals. You have 4 endorsement deals. I think you got to act a little bit differently than you would otherwise. And I think it's kind of funny also. I think there's a little bit of little racismo in there, because like if you hear the things that people say about NBA athletes and NFL athletes when they mess up, when they get DUI, this, that, and the other, when they do anything, they get just basically ripped apart for that. And then you see a lot of these, some of the same people, like, well, I mean, we got to see what he has to say. It was embellished. We got to admit some of these details were embellished. I'm like, come on. That's a lot of defense for just an outright.
Over-exaggerated.
Yeah, it's like, dude just straight out lied. And again, I can totally understand that. If he goes back and he's like, you know what? I was
trying to vandalized.
Yeah, I can get that. I can see how he got out of control. Apparently he told his mom, you know, A, and his mom just so happened to sit in a shuttle with a reporter. And regaled that dude with a story.
Oh, moms.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. So it kind of, like, he was probably just lying to his mom. Like, yeah, we got robbed, man. It was kind of whatever. And that was going to be the end of it. I think where he messed up was telling the reporter the next day.
Yeah.
Like, he should have squashed and, like, no, it's not quite exactly what happened. You know, there was an altercation. That's it. Just be done with it. But he was like, no, dude put a gun to my head. He kept going with it. Like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? Anyway,
yeah,
that's enough of if that were me. Here on the Deranged Penguin Podcast,
I kind of like that. That should be a segment.
If
you
that
should
were
take
me.
Something weird that happened and be like, "What would you do?"
I like that also. How do you like this Anchor's Theme beer that you're drinking, Gina?
I think it's pretty good.
Like it's okay.
Y'all want to know something about Steam beer?
What?
Sure.
Anchor Steam beer. So, yeah. So it's really kind of a uniquely American beer. Maybe the only like really distinctive American beer developed and created in America. Steam ales though are beers that, are brewed with lager yeasts, but fermented at ale temperatures. Which makes them really unique. And I can't... There's one other tidbit of information I can't think of right now. If I think of it, I'll let you know. But, yeah, it's an interesting... creates a very interesting flavor profile for the beer. Unique.
Do you know who came up with it?
I believe it's a California... It's called, known as like a California Common or a California Steam Ale. So
yeah.
I don't know if Anchor is the like original, but it was out there around somewhere around that. So...
Fun facts with Dell. I like that. So do you have any idea of what movie you're going to select next? How do you go about selecting these movies, Gina?
Well, I consider the month, and if there's any upcoming holiday or something, you know, that would theme the movie appropriately.
Yeah.
And since there wasn't really anything for August, I was thinking back to school, and I was trying to come up with, like, what's a fun back to school related movie, but I couldn't think of anything that we haven't all obviously seen, like, I don't know, like some Brat Pack movie or something like that. So then I started thinking about the election, and I saw that on Netflix, and I kept avoiding it because I thought it was something serious, and when I realized it wasn't, I was like, yeah, that'll be easy. We can watch that. So, for September, I'll be considering something labor-related.
That's decent. Right? I like that. Right, maybe, guys? Like, something where the, maybe, like, a communist movie?
Perhaps.
Labor, right, guys?
Perhaps.
Did you all see this letter from Orwell, to George Orwell from Aldous Huxley about 1984? You guys want to talk about that? Or, I'd rather talk about Gawker being gaslit.
What were you going to say, Dale?
I would like to talk about either or both.
All right. Well, let's first because I want to do it.
Anchor.
Yeah.
Originated the modern idea of steam beer. We don't really know what the traditional historic steam beers taste like, but
is it kind of like how people
associated with San Francisco and the Gold Rush?
People trying to remake absinthe, even though nobody knows how it was made. Is it kind of like that?
Probably, but probably maybe not as far away. I'd imagine it's fairly close, but nobody knows. Like I was just reading, like the term where the term steam beer comes from, and they're like nobody really knows even where. Why they don't actually know how they made it, like you know. So
interesting.
All right. Well, we'll accommodate Dell since he gave us some fun facts. Let's talk about this Orwell letter. Well, the letter to Orwell, written by Aldous. Is it Aldous?
Aldous.
Right. I don't like OU things. It makes me want to pronounce it.
Those.
Yeah. So he wrote him. It was a letter. This is from like Letters of Note, which is pretty. You guys read that? Those are kind of good. I like those. The little blog where they post famous letters. No, you guys hate America. All right. So
I'll be Michael Phelps.
he basically says, you know, yeah, it's a good book. I thought it was funny because he was like, yeah, it's a good book, but also I thought of some better things in my book. I thought that was kind of funny. Like, for example, he says right here, I feel that the nightmare of 1984 is destined to modulate into the nightmare of a world having more resemblance to that which I imagined in Brave New World. Okay. Yeah, good book, dude. But, I mean, if you really want to see how it's going to happen, check out my book.
You know what's interesting about that already is that then Huxley wrote Brave New World Revisited, where he kind of, like, recants a lot of his assertions in Brave New World.
So basically, I mean, like, it's a pretty interesting little letter. It's not even little. It's pretty longish. I think some points that are applicable to us, and one of the reasons why boingboing.net posted it was kind of the points he made about how the world's not really like instead of beating you into submission, that they're gonna just train you up from a child, and I think he has a nice little. I'm looking for the phrase that he used so that way I can use it. You know, yeah. Anyway, while I look for it, Dale, your thoughts on this letter?
I think it's cool. I had no idea that Aldous Huxley was Orwell's teacher. I didn't realize they were so far apart in age either. I thought they were fairly contemporary to each other. But, wow, that's just... Like, these are, like, 1984 is probably my favorite book that I read in high school, and Brave New World. Like, I was very much into both of them. I haven't read the whole thing in detail, but...
I like the way you put that. I haven't read the whole thing in detail. Like, what does that mean?
Such
like,
a student.
You hadn't read it.
He knows how to get answers.
It means that in the last 25 seconds, I've glanced over it and found sentences that pop out to me.
Yeah. Like what? Name a sentence that pops out.
I do think...
Thanks for your letter. That was pretty...
Let's see what he's saying.
No, within the next generation, I believe that the world's rulers will discover that infant conditioning and narco-hypnosis are more efficient as instruments of government than clubs and prisons.
That's the sentence I was looking for. Thanks.
And that the lust for power can be just as completely satisfied by suggesting people into loving their servitude as by flogging and kicking them into obedience.
Yeah, I think that passage pretty much sums up, I think, you know, like some of the more common criticisms of, say, 21st century United States of America, you know?
Yeah.
That, you know, like, you're like, you're happy here being stupid, and, you know, look what you have wrought. Put a Donald Trump up there, or you're not actively involved in your government, and you're just, you know, you're cool to watch. I know it's a popular thing to watch now, Stranger Things, I guess.
Watching the Bachelorette,
yeah, watching the Bachelorette, and not watching the world crumble around us or the
theory.
Yeah, that shit.
It's interesting because I think both are going on right now. I think there's both that sort of like Soma sort of thing going on, and the fear of like I think the population in general feels like the police are pretty much have total authority. Like you cannot, if you act out of line and somebody that's an officer or an official like decides that you're out of line, like they have so much more power to see that through than you do to resist that.
Yeah, they do have the power, and that's kind of always been granted them. But I think what's been less true, or maybe like we're just revealing it to be less true now, is that we don't have oversight over them, or we don't have the oversight that we thought we did. Right. And that is like, you know, like these things should be subject to review. If I'm a cop and I kill you, okay, there should be a review process. And there is on the surface of it, right?
Like, but it's all internal.
Yeah, and so then, you know, we've seen that there's not a whole lot of, I would say, light shed on these actions, or, you know, like repercussions for ones that are deemed really questionable or seem really questionable to the public. And so in that way, I think you're very right. Also add to that, you know, this drone stuff, NSA spying on you. Like, there really are a whole lot of Big Brother elements in there. I mean, again, the NSA has probably listened to this podcast before we publish it. And also, you know, we're the other way, like you said, we're being coerced into enjoying our servitude by saying, you know, is it so bad? Got a nice comfy chair. Is it so bad? Jeannie, have any thoughts on this?
The only thing I was going to add was I too loved 1984 in high school, but I never read Brave New World. So I'll have to add that to my 30s reading list.
Sweet.
It's easy. It's a short book. It's easy to read.
I should get it done by 40.
It says
it's going to come right after the rest of the Chronicles of Narnia.
You should have read in your teens, early teens, pre-teens.
It was never assigned, okay? In my AP classes, they were like, no, we're beyond that, guys. Mm.
I read that.
Yeah,
I had a fun read.
I was from Mississippi.
My fun read. All right. So I think this ties in really nicely with this Gawker situation. If you ain't know, Gawker Media, owned by Nick Denton. It's been around for about 14 years. It was very snarky.
Adam's favorite.
You know what? I do like. I like it for a number of reasons. One, I like its irreverent tone. I like them for their willing to call out bullshit. I like Gawker. I like they were, you know, like I said, they were snarky, right? That's what everybody called them. A little snarky, little blog. At a time, especially it was 2001, 2000 when they were founded, or 2002. It was a time when old media was entrenched, and like they were busy calling out some of the bullshit. I think it was Tom Skaka that wrote this one. That he kind of summed it up like it was useful. They were one of the only places that was willing to, you know, he has a whole little metaphor there. To call out shit. And I think what's scary is, like you said, that not that they published things that they regretted. And he did a good job pointing out that, like, the New York Times or other publications have done similar things. Maybe even worse things. Like, they were publishing people, the Boston Marathon, they published innocent people's faces and said, these are the killers, right? I would argue that's worse than, you know, publishing Hulk Hogan's sex tape that he pretty much intended to be released. And you know, like, they were able to live through it. And that this one was crushed. Like, this site was crushed because Peter Thiel, internet billionaire, was too powerful, you know, for them. And that he basically pressed the issue, and he was able to because he was rich and powerful. And I think that kind of ties into some of the things we're talking about, because it's a bit dystopian for me. I mean, that's, although I don't think it's very dissimilar to what has happened throughout history. You know what I mean? The rich and the powerful getting their way. What? Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you feel about Gawker's demise? Gina, Dell, whoever wants to go first.
No.
I only looked at Gawker when you sent articles from Gawker. like, as, like, an entity, it's hard for me to feel like...
You were just like, no more articles from Adam.
Right. Well, from that source.
Where is he going to get articles from now?
I thought that their articles were interesting and insightful and provocative. And I like having that sort of stuff on the internet. I think that that's an important thing. And so as a principle, you know, as an idea, it bothers me that somebody was able to basically shut them down because for personal reasons, because they had enough money to make it happen. Like that is the exact opposite of what we need in this society, in this world right now.
I didn't read the site a lot either. I mean, every once in a while. Quickly read that article to figure out what happened. So I was going to ask you anyway, like, what exactly is going on there?
Yeah, well, I guess, like, just for more information, if you are... I don't think most people really keep up with it. You might have heard that Hulk Hogan sued them. What you might not have heard is that Hulk Hogan sued and was denied twice before he was finally successful. And he was successful because he went from like a copyright thing. That was the angle he took. That was denied. And then he went a different way, and I forget the details on that one. Then that was denied also. So then finally he tried to, for this, basically kind of using the revenge porn laws. You know, saying like he's publicizing sex life. And I think one of the quotes that he had in there was really ridiculous to me, is that he said, like, out here I'm two people. I'm Hulk Hogan here, but that up there was Terry Bollea. And I'm like,
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I was like, what? And because Gawker was making an argument that he is a public person, that this is newsworthy, and then they were saying it's not like we published the whole thing. It was not just like complete smut. We published a bit of it, and then we narrated the rest. Like, there was 1,400 words of journalism there. And their argument was that this is a person that purports to be, you know, all these things, and this, you know, by this taking place and this being published, this shows otherwise. And so therefore, you know, people who would be interested in Hulk Hogan would be interested to know the truth about him this way. So that made sense, right? And then the argument that Hulk Hogan's lawyers presented was that basically Gawker Media and AJ Delirio, the editor who published it, were not so journalistic, and they kind of made an argument, whatever. I think pretty much most people going into it sided with Gawker, but thought that maybe Gawker's practices were not so great, like Gawker Media, not necessarily Gawker.com. But Gawker Media, which includes like Deadspin, this, that, and the other. And, you know, like Peter Thiel in particular took issue with the fact that they outed him before. And that was kind of his deal. And anyway, like I said, there's been a lot of conversation about it. And there's some people that are like jumping up and down, like, good, Gawker sucked. Good, I'm glad they're dead. I don't think that's the point. I think the point is, like you said, Del, the fact that somebody with so much money could shut them down. Yeah.
So now there will be no more of any of their sites?
Well, what happened was that they won a judgment of $150 million, which the owner, Nick Denton, had like kind of hedged against by taking on some more money, like investors. He owned all of it, or there was like minor investors, but he took on a big chunk, sold like 20% of it. So that way he can get some more money to, you know, basically prepare for this judgment, like worst case scenario. It turns out that it was even worse. The worst case scenario that he envisioned was even worse. They gave him like the full $110 million judgment. And then most shockingly, he won a judgment against the editor by himself, AJ Delirio, which is very unusual in media circles. Usually everybody kind of, you have insurance in case you get like a libel suit, that kind of thing. And that's how you're defended. But he targeted him individually, and the judge allowed it. Gawker still thought and still kind of thinks that they'll win on appeal. But the judge was very unusual in that she was like, no, she basically just denied. I think somebody, one of the most recent posts on there kind of outlines the details of it, and I'm not super familiar with it or like the legal maneuvers that make it possible. But basically, she unusually ruled and said, no, you have to pay it now. Because he was basically saying, okay, we'll put it, like, put it, like, in a bond or delay it till whenever so that way we can appeal it. And they're like, no, you got to pay it first, which is very unusual. So there's a few unusual steps that were really kind of seemed like they were just kind of out to get him and to punish him. And so that kind of brought about the bankruptcy. So Gawker filed for bankruptcy protection, and they're gonna they sold their company to Univision. So Univision bought Gawker Media.
I remember you mentioning that.
Yeah, but Gawker.com is gonna shut down. So all your favorites: Deadspin, Gizmodo, Jalopnik, Kotaku. Those are gonna
you're
still
just
exist.
Making things up.
Now you're
just Jezebel. Those sites are gonna exist probably in some form for like a year or two as Univision decides what they're gonna do with them. But there's even the argument that those sites were the valuable parts of the media company anyway, and Gawker.com was kind of a like a pet project. It was the Nick Denton's it's like pet project and didn't really bring in money. So Gawker.com is the one that's going to die, pretty much for sure. Everything else is going to live on in some form or another, including like
Deadspin. In Spanish.
Yeah.
Got it.
Univision's going to turn it all into Spanish. unusual move for Univision, but I mean, we'll see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I think it's so Malcolm Gladwell today, I didn't link to this, I just saw this today. He was like, I don't understand, like why didn't they just start like Gawker2.com or sonofgawker.com? And people were making fun of him for it. And I think that he was kind of trying to say, yeah, this is terrible, but I don't fully understand, like, why don't they just keep it going?
Right.
And the thing is that Gawker is not just a website or just, because, they could, and all the writers would probably find other lives everywhere. One, it's a precedent to this set. And two, Gawker Media as a whole is, like, no more. And, like, Nick Denton had, like, as part of his agreement to sell the company, had to sign an agreement that he won't be associated with anything Gawker-like for, like, 2 years.
Right.
So they can't just, like, we're just going to do the same thing over here, Because all that goodwill you build up, everybody knows Gawker.com. They don't know whatever in the hell else, sonofgawker.com or Gawker, too. It just doesn't work that way. So there you go.
Interesting.
There you go. Like I said, I'm a little sad about it, but I think sad because that kind of shit can happen. It makes me sad that we live in an era where this kind of shit happens. But I think as one of the posts on Gawker.com said, all these places die, all these media companies die,
it's a life cycle.
Yeah. It's good. I think it had a lasting impression on everybody. There's a lot of companies. I think it was a Mediaite was like, maybe come read us now. I mean, we founded ourselves based on like the principles that we liked about Gawker, but like maybe the ones we didn't. So we'd like you to come over here.
Check
now.
Us out.
So maybe. I don't know.
There you go.
There you go. Deranged Penguin Explainer.
This is where I learn.
Hey, Mr. Penguin, can you tell me about Gawker.com?
What does that mean?
You know what? I'm going to play it right now. That reminds me, Gene and I were watching cartoons.
Yes, we were.
Do you remember the, Dale was probably like 42 years old when we were watching
this.
Yeah,
he wasn't watching this.
It was called, what the hell is this called?
Grimm's.
It was like a fairy tale. Everything's Grimm's fairy tale. It doesn't really break it down very much, does it?
Yeah.
It was Grimm's Fairy Tales. You remember that one? What adaptation that
was? Isn't that what it was called?
What?
It was like the anime.
Okay,
version.
It's called Grimm's Fairy Tale Classics. I'm gonna play a little bit.
Theme song.
Yeah, I saw this show.
When the song is a jam.
And comes Adam with the freestyle.
Yo, yeah. So
you can stop playing.
Yeah, I'm trying to stop playing. I'm trying to stop. Del, maybe you can explain musical theory why that song is so damn catchy and why I love it so.
It's a good song. I was just thinking that, like, that's a good freaking song, man.
To put it technically.
I think it's really familiar.
Did they sample something?
No, it's just the combination of, like, the parts that they use are all really good hooky stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's also very similar in stylistically to early praise worship songs.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. it really has a lot of that sort of thing, especially the come along, that sort of thing. Yeah. Like, that's very much like, I think that it's, you expect it, like it creates the expectations and then fulfills them. And so on a very like,
primal level.
Yeah. It's just very fulfilling to hear that. Yeah. It's simple. And I think it appeals to like very childlike instincts.
So Adam, you're a kid.
Sweet.
Well, I like it too. I thought, man, you know, if I listened to it like every day for a year, I'd probably it'd probably drive me insane. You know, it's the same sort of thing, but like in small doses, it's like, oh yeah, this is so pleasant. Wonderful.
Yeah. Well,
like candy.
Like two things I remember about that is that it came on early on Nickelodeon. I was remembering this, and it came on just early enough that was like stretching it for me as a child. Like, I was really more sleepy, so I'd sit down and I remember falling asleep while I was on. Yeah, I'm like, and I'd wake up and it'd be ending and I'd catch the song, or like, you know, I'd wake up for it to be beginning and then I'd fall asleep like after. I wouldn't get the story. It's like the Saban Entertainment like anime style.
Yeah, it's Egyptian. I mean, Japanese.
Yeah.
Egyptian. What the heck?
Yeah, that's because they're right next to each other. Yeah. You know? And yeah, it's a little rowdy. Like, for whatever reason, I always remember the whole reason we got on this is Gina was reading stories to our infant kid. One of the stories was Brave Little Taylor. You know, are you familiar with that one?
I think so.
Yeah. So I was like, I know this one. Did I read it? And I was trying to remember.
That's
I was like,
super weird story.
Yeah, it is weird. And I was thinking, you know, this is like one that I saw. Was it like on? Like, what did I say? I was like, I either seen this on the TV show. I read it. I couldn't remember. So that's when I was Googling. I was like, I think it was this. I found it, and then we watched it on YouTube, and it was like in German or something. I don't know, because everything about it was weird and kind of off, but also very familiar, including the song. I was like, I remember this. And so anyway, so we're watching Brave Little Taylor, and I remember this is how I knew the story. And that song was super catchy. I was like, I remember this. And it did remind me of David the Gnome, which is also very catchy. A lot of the same things there. But it's really kind of creepy in some places. I was like, whoa, I didn't know it was this harsh here. The story of Hansel and Gretel. We were watching that. And
that one was super weird.
Gina got freaked out by the witch that lives in the what you call it?
Yeah, they show her like browsing her spell book, and there's like these demonic drawings and a pentagram. And I was like, what the hell are we looking at right now? This is for kids?
Yeah, don't mess with the occult, kids. By the way, this is what the occult looks like.
Moral of that story.
And also, like, the witch transforms twice into increasingly frightening versions of herself, I guess.
Yeah, sprouts, like, ears and the dog face.
And she looks pretty super creepy. I was like, wow, I don't remember this as a kid. I don't know if they showed it on Nickelodeon. Didn't quite square with, like, Rugrats. You got Rugrats!
Demonic beast.
Yeah, demonic beast.
Here for your soul.
I do recommend, if you do remember these episodes, take some time and watch them. At the very least, as Del said, that song makes me happy. Listen to the song again. It's great. I listened to it by myself. I was like, you know,
it's play. Okay, but you know, I've got an aversion to the sound of kids singing.
Really?
I don't like it. Like, anytime there's a song with, like, a children's choir on it, except for Christmas music, I can handle that. I don't like it.
I don't like Christmas music. That's what I don't like.
I don't know. Uh-huh. I'm excited for Christmas music to come back. Speaking of. I'm always ready for that.
One more time. I think that part is my favorite part.
Yeah.
I just like that. Somebody do a remix of that.
It does make me excited to watch the show.
Yeah, it's like,
something's about to happen.
Guys, it's time for fairy tales. Your favorite time. I think also it's like mixed up in there is the nostalgia for being, because like I had excitement.
I didn't hate it back then.
For one, watching your favorite show. The same way you get excited for watching, like, I guess what, Mr. Robot or whatever the hell you're going to watch. But also like...
The Affair. Love the start of that show.
That has a nice catchy song also. Just a little bit more adult, I guess. But when I knew that I was going to get something that I wanted to watch, was for me, cartoons. I was like, sweet, this is cartoons. I want to watch this. I didn't really like live action. Like, Barney was gross. I didn't care about no Barney. Well, I was too old for that, but I never really did anything for me.
Oh, man. So, okay, I'm going to put this out there to y'all and to all our listeners to help me figure this out. Every time we talk about, or I think about, like, old cartoons we used to watch, there's a show that I don't know if the whole show was just like telling a story, an old folk tale or whatever,
yeah,
or if there was like a folk tale embedded in the story, like a 3-part thing, like, but when the Decemberists came out with their album The Crane Wife, and I heard the album, I was like, I know this story, and it's based on a Japanese folk tale. And there was a cartoon that came on when I was a little kid that this story featured in it. Like, it was an impact on my life. Like, because I clearly remember the cartoon of
like
of
you were
going to
be a Ronin, but then you changed your ways because of impact.
I don't know, but like I knew the story already, and that's how I knew it was from was from seeing this as a kid. But I've never been able to figure out what the show was. And I thought it was David the Gnome. It wasn't David the Gnome, and I thought it might be Grimm's Fairy Tale Classics when we were just talking. But that's all Grimm's Fairy Tales, and this is a Japanese folk tale. Yeah. And so, if anybody knows or can figure this out, I would love you forever because I want to know. I want to go watch the cartoon again, man.
So what are the details of the story?
Yeah.
The story is basically like there's a hunter and he goes out and is hunting or this is woodsman, I don't know. I don't think he shoots the crane, he might, but he shoots a crane or a crane. He finds a crane that's been shot with an arrow. He takes it home and like nurses it back to health and then lets it go. And when he lets it go that night, like this woman comes to his door and knocks on his door and he like, they get married, they fall in love and they get married. And,
these weird stories.
Yeah. Right. And then, he finds out that she has this magical power where she can weave golden thread. It's very valuable.
Oh, that's familiar.
Right. Yeah. And then he forces her, locks her up and forces her to weave this, cause they were very poor.
Yeah.
He gets greedy and makes her start doing it. And she starts dying, like it's killing her. It kills her, or almost kills her. And he finds out, realizes it, and stops. But he realizes that she is the crane, and is weaving her feathers into this thread that makes it so valuable. And that's basically the story.
You can't find it anywhere? Like, I mean...
I can find the story. Like, the story's well known, but the cartoon version. That I saw when I was a little kid. And I know, I'm 99% sure, 80% sure that I didn't dream this, because...
Maybe someone read you a picture book and you just, you know, ran with it in your mind. It felt
cartoon.
So real.
Dang.
Maybe, but I don't know, man. So,
all right, that's everybody's mission for this week. It's find Elle's story.
I bet you I find it.
Oh yeah,
I'm good with search engines.
I hope you can. I've looked, you know, not steadily, but every once in a while, like looked for it for a few years now.
Yeah, I think because all these stories kind of have a similar element to them, you know. And yeah, they're a little. Well, some of them are weird because they're just so foreign to us. Like Hansel and Gretel is based on. Well, they said they think it has origins in like Scandinavian tales from the 1300s when people would leave their children to fend for themselves because there was a famine, right? That's kind of, you know, like, I mean.
Yeah, but like that weird story Del just told reminded me of the one that I just read to Rapunzel. Our kid yesterday.
Not Rapunzel.
No. But it did make me think of Rumpelstiltskin. But
there you go.
I don't know what the title of the one I was reading yesterday was, but there's like a boy and his family hates him, of course.
Sweet.
These weird stories always start like that. Like his parents are assholes to him.
Yeah, like this Hansel and Gretel one. Like the stepmother's like, I'm hungry and there's not enough food. Let's leave these kids out in the woods. I was like, what?
Yeah. What? So this one's like that, but for no rhyme or reason. Like they that one you could explain. Okay, maybe famine. This one, they have other kids. They like them. They just hate this one. And so he goes in the woods and there's like a magical old guy and he helps him find a goose inside of a hollow tree because he was kind to him. And then this goose like leads him to marrying some princess in a town because she never laughed before. And the king's like, if she ever laughs, she gets to marry that dude. And so he happens to make her laugh. It's really weird. What does that have to do with anything? And where was that based in reality ever? You tell me.
No? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Grimm's fairy tales are dark and very twisted. Very
yeah, they
weird.
Are. I mean, that's why they made that into a show, right? I never watched it. Like, for adults.
Grimm?
Yeah.
It's good. I like that show, yeah.
Yeah, I think we got a comic book that was also like, they told like the true versions, like the gory ones where people just die. They're like, witch came and ate everybody. The end. Like, what? Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're reaching the end of this episode. I'm going to find it. What is it? The story's called The Crane's Wife? The Crane Wife?
The Gratitude of the Crane or The Crane Wife in Japanese. It's
Don't try to say it, Del. Don't do it.
I'm doing it, dude.
Don't do that.
It's too late. Here
we
go.
I don't think we have many.
Tsuru no Ongaishi.
Great.
It happened.
Just hurt everybody's feelings. Now Tokyo is not going to host the Olympics. did you guys see at the end of the Rio closing ceremony that there was like a video? Apparently they do this every time.
No.
Like they say, hey, now for the next city to have a moment. And Tokyo had to show a little video of like, you know, people doing athletic feats around Tokyo. And then the prime minister was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to get to Rio. And so then he changes into Mario from, you know, like Super Mario, jumps into the pipe, and then it shows him drilling down to Rio. And then he came out of the Maracanã Stadium. He popped out.
Appeared there?
Yeah, as Mario, but then he, like, his hat and his clothes fell off, and he was just regular prime minister.
Dang, everybody hyped now?
Yeah, that's the kind of thing you can expect from Japan.
That my energy that created is definitely going to persist 4 years until
sweet
the Olympics.
Yeah. Would you rather them just sing you a song?
Also, Ryan Lochte used the word shenanigans in his last interview. He's such a dunce.
Yeah.
You won't see any more of these shenanigans, if you want to call them that.
You know what? Yeah, you won't, because you won't have enough money to do it, because he lost
all four
of his sponsors.
Yeah.
Speedo was like, nah. Ralph Lauren was like, nah. You know, Tom's Car Shop said, nah, never mind. We can't be associated with this guy. It's fucked up. Come along.
All right, on that bad note.
Sweet. All right, next week. What can you expect next week? Maybe Brad will be back.
Ooh.
Who knows? He'll tell us about life in Arkansas.
At the big Walmart.
Yeah. Walmart might own this podcast by next week.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the show. If you have some feedback for us, give it to us on the Twitters at Deranged Penguin, Penguin with a W, or send us an email, podcast@derangedpenguin.com.
Don't care how, we want it now.